You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
We've had a small break after the first, and it got worse during the break. So we thought,
Is he on drugs? He was just about dead on Sunday.
So it's got worse.
His stick. Now he's livened up.
So what we normally do, Don, as you would know, is that we do a little about life as we know it, and then we get on to sport. But I've got a feeling it doesn't matter chat about. We've had an extraordinary conversation about my son, who's just installed a television above us here in the warehouse we're at. And what he said about I bought one 20 years ago, and what was its name? And that's why we've had to go to air, because we've got to stop him. I don't know what he's talking about. What were you talking about?
I was talking about the German television that you bought when you first when you were recovering from being so kind to the man, and you guarantored, and you're on the bones of your backside, and you bought a beautiful property in Brighton, which I could never afford even to walk along there picking up your slipstream. But you got a deal. It wasn't from JB Hi-Fi, because J wasn't there and B wasn't there, because their mother and father hadn't got together. But it was somebody electronics, and it was a blowpont.
A blowpont.
And the next week on the footy show, in its infancy, not only in its infancy, but when it was just getting onto its feet, where, you know, Jono had to write off on everything and said, oh, you've got so many weeks, that you got on and actually cashed for comments and paid for your blowpont. And 10 years later, Alan Jones and
John Laws
and myself, who was plugging Nissan and Kmart, we were involved in a scandal involving cash for comments, where Howard Graham Kennedy and Bert Newton and Letterman and the other bloke, Carson, that sort of thing, Johnny Gleeson, it was all done
Jackie.
On contra. You know, I went down to Joe's restaurant and that sort of thing, and it was just quite amazing.
Okay, shut up, Rex.
Sorry, Don.
I want to ask him a question.
Tell this is your Christmas gift, still giving. This is your Christmas gift.
Righto, Johnny, we've been doing it for 6 weeks.
Well,
I think the listeners would know about this.
If you suddenly say masturbating just out of thin air.
Let me finish. This masturbating is the first word. I will then go, Rex.
No, masturbating. I know you haven't been there for a while, but get your lips closer to the mic.
Don, you've got to tell people this is your Christmas gift, and you're reading a question out from one of your gifts. This is one of the questions. Because if you just say masturbating, people say, why are you saying that? You're reading off a card.
Because I'm asking Rex a question. Rex, microphone. Masturbating yourself close to the climax, then yelling for your mum or dad and trying to finish before they come running in your room is called A, the mother load, B, the suicide wank.
Don, please.
C, minute to win it. And D, B, beating the parents. Now what?
Beating the what?
Parents.
Well, you as a primary producer down at Tyab, when it's called feeding the chooks.
But you, no. You got four alternatives, and feeding the chooks wasn't one of them. I've given you the old.
I can remember in the army that I nearly had a suicide wank because my hand slipped off and I hit myself in the side of the head.
He had a grenade in his hand.
grenade.
Don, what's the most sensitive part of your body when you're having a wank?
Your ears.
Are we on air? Or we're just sort of practicing? Does this actually go? No wonder you've got no one listening. You know what? People would be tuned in, that sort of thing. And if you want to go to the next level, 75-year-olds, I'll give you a little tip. And it's only the initials. It's called seniorporn.com.
What? Senior porn?
Seniorporn.com.
What are you talking
about?
Well,
for 70-year-old people who still enjoy just a little bit of the
So you turn on and watch 70-year-old men and women.
I didn't say
with
that.
Their gear off.
I didn't say that.
Holy mackerel, Rex.
No, the fish weren't involved at all.
Rex.
But there was a blow-up doll.
Rex.
And the bloke, I tell you what, the bloke gave her a love bite on the neck, she farted and flew out the window.
Why did I do any preparation for this week? I've got rheums and stuff and headache and everything. We got this idiot in, and we haven't idiot. Even. We haven't even.
But you're
stuck
still to cutting trees down, and I've been retired for 15 years.
Just incidentally, I think I've almost talk about yesterday's people, an anachronism and a relic. Caroline Wilson wrote a what would be the most remarkably fair dinkum article about Damien Hardwick's. This was the
when
headline.
Where was this? What, recently?
Well, the Rocket alerted me to it. And this was the headline. Damien Hardwick's decision to leave his wife, embark on a relationship with a colleague, has tarnished his legacy. Have you ever heard of more sanctimonious...
This is in the paper or online, Rodney?
Have you... What?
In the Age.
Age online or in the printed media?
Have you ever heard of more...
What, recently?
This week.
Oh, really?
Have you ever heard of a more pompous, arrogant, subjective piece of hypocrisy in your life from someone who is desperately trying to remain relevant? No, because this is what happened. Damien, Mr. Hardwick, left Mrs. Hardwick and is taken up with another woman. That is the story. How would that tarnish his legacy of winning 3 grand finals for Richmond, putting him on the map? He says... it is staggering. It went on for 40, I'm told, it went on for 40 paragraphs.
Well, what about the other coaches that are in the same boat at the moment? Were they mentioned as well?
No.
They weren't mentioned, only Hardwick.
Because it was just about him.
I think we've become a little bit too intrusive. The problem with the reporters is that we can't get access, or people can't get access to the actual players. There's too much of this periphery stuff. And the players are the game, and I would like to know about the players, what they do, and whatever else. But we just
there was part of the argument and the debate in various mediums that I'm capable of actually accessing. That 2-3 years ago at AFL headquarters, there were two males who conducted what was termed by some expert and some higher than thou person. Inappropriate relationships within the office area.
Workplace relations.
They want now Mr. Hardwick, because of him and Mrs. Hardwick splitting and Mr. Hardwick taking on with a younger model in the sales area, they want him
younger
suspended.
Person.
Now, goodness me, if we were going to suspend male, female and the whole lot for jizz hornblower, I tell you what, there'd be no one left.
So Rex, the point is... How in God's name would that tarnish the man's legacy? There's 50,000 divorces a year in Australia. So Mr. Hardwick has split up with Mrs. Hardwick. The only two people who should be involved in this is Mr. and Mrs. Hardwick. And Wilson took him aside for calling him Mrs. Hardwick. Would you not understand it's a tongue-in-cheek reference to keeping some anonymity with the person that he's married to? It's a joke, Mr. and Mrs. Hardwick. And the only three people who should be concerned, it's got nothing to do with his legacy. And as for it filtrating through the player ranks and them being worried about it, the players couldn't give a continental who Mr. Hardwick goes out with. It is so subjectively... And aren't we lucky that those people who nod in mindless agreement have never had workplace relationships ever in their life or never strayed? Aren't we lucky that the people writing about it and nodding in agreement are so squeaky clean? We're just fortunate that there's people out there who are arbiters of moral behaviour. It's fantastic.
My disappointment through my later working years with 3AW was that Shane Healy, who thought it'd be a good idea to get Brian Taylor to replace me and me to go to Sunday, and I didn't actually accept it and went to Triple M. It was decided that as soon as I turned 60 years of age, that I was getting near to the end of it. Now, this man over here, John Noel William Newman, sat with Robert Farquhar Walls at the Telstra Dome for my last game, St Kilda and Carlton, and I broadcast it, and that man there, and you don't earn praise very easily, said, "You've still got it, mate," and it was lovely to get out. But it was decided because I was 60 that I was up. The problem is now, I reckon that anybody who gets to 60, that Daniel Andrews should make available positions. for 60-plus people to stand behind ministers and himself and nod like those clowns that you put the ping pong ball. Because
well,
it puts me off the minister talking about, oh, yes, we're going to make sure that we're going to move on this. We're going to make sure taxi drivers can speak English. Well, oh, really? We had a Brownlow medalist and a five-time premiership player at your club that speaks six languages and English ain't one of them. But he still got by. But all of a sudden, here's Mr. Andrews saying, yes, we've blown out. We've got a jizz horn blower down on the tunnel and we're going to spend another $3 million. And free puppets of the back are nodding like that. I think to just give people an opportunity to ease into retirement.
And if you can't understand them, Rex, the person doing the sign language behind the Premier will actually explain it in language that you'll be able to read if you can read sign language.
It's lovely that the people who rely on sign language, the problem is that you need to do a 10-year course to learn what the sign language is saying. Excuse me, while you're just taking that, John, Donald, what does anachronism mean? Don?
An anachronism?
What does irrelic mean? Why do you use these? You try to embarrass Don and I by looking
relic,
at...
Relic? Do you know what a relic is?
I know what a relevant is, and that's what I am.
A relic.
A relic is something... A relic is out the back, and it's an E.H. Holden.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's an old-fashioned thing.
Yeah.
And an anachronism.
So you're a fossil and I'm a relic. What's this bloke over here, Mr. Tibetan monk?
And an anachronism is something from another era. I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, then.
Don, you're going to bring... You're looking at me like you've got wind.
Did we get to the answer of feeding the chooks, the self-satisfaction.
It's hard to get a word in when he
goes.
Go on
then.
Every now and again, you think about it.
2 days of research for this and I have not used one.
Well, come now. Now's your chance.
My mood has changed.
Well, please change ours, Don.
Going.
Give us something.
Anyway, I threw you that T-shirt. That was sent in the mail. That's for you.
Don, please give us one of your topics.
No, couldn't be bothered.
Well, could we touch on...
Actually, Rexy? What you talked about before, it was on the 7:30 report last night, how an advertising agency, and Libby Gore was actually featured, Elle McFeast, and...
Get your lips around the mic.
Will you shut up?
Get your lips around the mic.
Older people to help in the advertising world.
Yeah.
And with their experience, they are monitoring and being a very vital part of this particular company.
I think we should use our higher profile people like Jerry Harvey, like Murdoch, like Lindsay Fox, who say, if I stop working, I stop living. And the thing about it is that just because you're 60 or 65 means you don't have to retire because... The big thing about it, I ring people all the time for an opinion. This man over here, we talk a lot of shit. We have show bags. But this man over here has taught me that an opinion is neither right nor wrong. And you might get 9 or 10 different answers, but eventually you will work it out with yourself. And I just find it really, really disappointing that, even a doctor, they just give it away. All of that knowledge. The murder of Mr. Chang, the heart surgeon. It's just all of that knowledge is gone. What are you looking at me like? You're just about to launch into a tirade involving what rhymes with my surname.
No, I just... So we should. I would like to.
I came in here.
After
I need
all
a rest.
The,
can we have a
after
break?
After all, the, well, no, we're not.
Why?
So we're going to comment on a thing that has been had some prominence in the media of late, and that's what's going on at Collingwood. Now, after
no,
all,
I'm
the,
not in really.
Well, just
listen,
for the
before
sake
you even start. I'm not really interested.
Well, just for the sake of the discussion, Donald.
I know you've got a comment, but I'm not interested.
I don't have to comment at all.
You?
But after the shrieking and the hysteria and the forelock tugging and all that has died down, could we just say that a study, you tell me if this is not right, Rocket, please. A study was done on systemic racism at Collingwood and 30-odd players were interviewed. Tell me if I go wrong, will you?
I think that's right.
30-odd, and they said there was a basis for racial disharmony at the club. Now,
but there was systemic racism over a long period.
Right. And if you defile, degrade or decry someone, that is racism. And we are told that went on at the club. All of us are against that absolutely vehemently. So that is the definition of racism. If you decry, defile or degrade someone because of their ethnicity or their race, that is the epitome of racism, which is not the same as having an opinion about someone from another race or ethnicity, just having an opinion of them, because that is quite legitimate, but the two should be separated. But we at this forum got into a legal drama when we, and I only mention this because Nikki Winmar, they went to Nikki Winmar, like you asked on the forum that we got into trouble for. You said, why do people go to Nikki Winmar when Black Lives Matter comes up? And then we had that discussion, which we will leave. So they went to Nikki Winmar about what's going on at Collingwood. And for once, I will agree with Nikki Winmar. If Nikki Winmar, I don't know what he said, but I presume he said that it's not acceptable and it is not helpful going forward about what's gone on at Collingwood. We wholeheartedly agree with that. And we make no apology. Why would you make an apology for it? We are not into racism. We are very comfortable speaking about people from other races if it's an opinion, a legitimate opinion and an objective opinion, but we're not into decrying, defiling or degrading people on their ethnicity or their race. Now that, so after all that has been done, what they have done to Eddie Maguire, and now I'm a friend of Eddie Maguire's, and I would like some of those people that you just mentioned, Rex, like Lindsay Fox, and I'm not even mentioning names. It would be helpful, I challenge or dare people to come out who know Eddie Maguire and just back him up a little, because he has been in an invidious position at that club. It has been going on, I'm told, Rocket, it has been going on for a long time, has it? Is that what the accusation is?
It goes back to, the earliest mention is the, I forgot his name, the Carlton Rover.
Yeah, Sid Jackson.
Okay, so in the report, that's the earliest mention of any incident.
No, but hang on, Wu. Don't get back to Sid Jackson. For what I can remember about that incident, Sid Jackson was reported.
Just answering his question, he said, "How long's going on?"
Was reported. And from what I remember, the advocate went to Lee Adamson because Sid Jackson struck Lee Adamson, and to get Sid off the, Lee agreed to say that he said something derogatory.
So he's helping him out.
Beg your pardon?
Helping him out.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was a...
Wasn't this mentioned...
The quid pro quo thing.
It wasn't about...
Which we used to do at the tribunal get the fellow off.
Don, it wasn't. That wasn't the incident they mentioned. They talked about the crowd booing him.
So at the risk, Don...
I'm sure that's what they did, didn't they?
At the risk of saying...
I don't know.
Yeah, all right, okay. So to answer Sam's question, yes. It dates, according to the report, it dates back to the 70s. That's gone that far back.
This is just recent about what is going on at Collingwood. And the only point I will make, we have said that if you decry, defile or degrade someone, that is racism, and that has been going on at that club, and we are against it wholeheartedly. There's a whole lot of different meanings to the word racism these days, because it just seems to be a buzzword that people just throw bandy around. But that is the true definition of racism, and we are absolutely vehemently against it, and we don't condone it in any way. I would like to just say this about Eddie Maguire. For those people who know Eddie Maguire, and it would be, I challenge them, I dare them to come out and say what a fine person he is. He is in the invidious position, and I know they're rounding him up, because he is the boss of that club, and he will cop it. He will take it because that's his job. He is the boss. But I'm asking where all the people below him in positions of support and positions of specialist coaches and people under him in that football division, if they knew this was going on for a decade or how long it was going on, why wasn't he made? Why didn't they counsel the players? Why did it just go on and on and on? Was it a tacit thing? Was it an unspoken thing that you just let it go? Why is it suddenly sheeted home to Maguire, who will cop the rap because he's the boss? Why weren't the people under him, who he has delegated his authority to, that do specialist coaches and all those other positions? Why didn't they mention it, or why didn't they counsel the players? If you are a specialist coach, Don, and someone was being berated because of their race, you would say, hang on, mate, that's not acceptable. You wouldn't have to go to Eddie Maguire. You would just take that on yourself because that's your portfolio to look after the playing group. I'm as I say, I'm not sticking up for Eddie Maguire in as much as... I'm sticking up for him because he's a very fine person. He is a very fine person. He's competent. And I tell you what, I dare those people who know Eddie Maguire in this country to say that he is a fine person and he's an upstanding person, and he'd be as mortified as anyone that what's going on at that club, because he loves it and he is not has not one racist bone in his body, and he's just been thrust into an invidious position. Now, if you think that is apologising for him, I'm not. It would be helpful if someone came out, a few people, a lot of people who know him, and just told them, us, what sort of person Maguire is. That's all I'll say about it. But we don't condone one thing that's gone on at that club, and we are vehemently against it. And that is the end of the matter as far as I'm concerned. So you can go, people can go on and on and on trying to drag everyone through the... I've got a feeling there's a little more to come out about this, which might put it in a little more perspective. But that is, I don't think they want to exacerbate the situation, but I just would stand by if it goes any further. That's all I will say about the matter, but we don't condone it, and you know we don't condone
Hang on, what are you saying?
I'm just saying, I think there's some small amount of facts that haven't quite seen the light of day, and may not if it doesn't go any further. But if it does go further, I'm sure that there just might be some other facts that might be relevant to what's going on.
How come in all this don't we ever hear from a delightful human being called Glenn James, who was a wonderful umpire for over a decade in the 70s and early 80s, of which we were all involved with at the highest level? You never ever, and there's some amazing stories, from Crackers Keenan about, all this pointing a bone at you and all this and all that sort of stuff. And I mean to say, water off a duck's back, and like, get on with it, but people want to be offended. And if I was giving advice to my grandchildren, Rex, I would say, be a lawyer, because you'll have two or three houses down at Portsea to spend your weekend, because you what, the litigation and the claim and blame society, this is what our next generation has got to look forward
that's
to.
That's fair comment, but it is absolutely legitimate to be offended in this day and age. Glenn James and Sid Jackson and people from yesteryear, times have moved on, and it is absolutely legitimate to be offended by racist, decrying, defiling or degrading someone because of their ethnicity or race. It's not acceptable. We all know it's not acceptable, and we go out of our way. Now, people might listen to this. We've just been through this. It cost us $100,000 for having what we said... and said was a reasonable conversation that we may gave no real opinions about, but it cost us $100,000 because it was said that we vilified a person, and we accepted that that person was vilified. We had no intention of vilifying him, but we accepted it, and we paid the money into a charitable fund at the AFL with the view to giving the person that we vilified a job at the AFL. We apologised. Our intent was to not vilify him, but that was the charge against us. That we would take, we would argue that we had no intention to do that, and in fact we didn't, but we accepted their outcome and we moved on. This is a completely different kettle of fish. Times have changed, and if if we take the report on face value that it was systemic racism at that club, then we wholeheartedly agree with the finding, and we don't resile from any opinion we have about it. It is not on, and we say that on this forum. I say it personally, and we say it collectively. Is that fair comment, Rocket?
Well, I think it is. Can we, as white Anglo-Saxon Australians, is that what we are? Can we people be racist against us?
No.
And
no,
give
no.
me an example. They can't.
No, they can't.
So unless you're coloured.
No. You haven't had a period of oppression.
Unless you're in a minority.
No, but it doesn't matter what it is.
Minority.
There's difference between racist and racial, okay? This is the way I understand it. Right? So you can be racial towards somebody, you're like racially prejudiced or bigoted or whatnot, right? But you can't be racist because there's no, we're not referring back to, we're not stirring up emotions from a period of oppression. So they've had a period of oppression, right? And it's like, and it's ongoing and whatnot, and it stirs that up. So we white Anglo-Saxons, we invented imperialism. So I don't know. But so yeah, that's my understanding of it.
And you also might say, all of us, this is my opinion, because we give opinions, that it is probably a good thing that this, not that this has come up, but just having seen Australia Day off, and a couple of Aboriginal senior people in the Aboriginal community, Aboriginals themselves, and namely Sissy King and Jacinta Price, who said that we would be helpful if we recognised a day. They said the 26th of January is a good day for Australia Day. They said that. And we've said on this forum, if we could pick any other day in the year where we would not have the angst and the protests about Invasion Day going on, then we should change it. But we said here, and they have said that they don't think that will matter. People who just want to, are invested in chaos, will want to just promote this no matter what day you do. So they have said it would be good if we could all come together on a day and say that we're Australians. And this is
okay, just hold on for a moment. I think that was what it initially, Australia Day, I think, was held back in 1915, the first Australian Day. If you go back and look at the history now, I'm only just quickly reading, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but then there was something in 1949 about, and I'm not going to go through it, I'll study it up for next week, but I've just Googled it now.
Well, it was so, but it's all the same thing though, Don. It's all, you're talking it about is. How it was on January 26th?
Yes.
But each time they still commemorate the First Fleet, which is what they find offensive.
Yeah, but hang on, let me say, wasn't it Sydney, growing up, Australia Day wasn't the deal it is now. Now, wasn't Sydney in the 1980s starting to commemorate Australia Day, because that's where
the First Fleet
the
came
English
in the Botany
people
Bay or something,
came, yeah. came, and they started the reenactment then, and then with Bicentenary and all the rest of it, it started to gather, and it's up to what it is now. Now, really, that was English settlement. Australia was settled by discovered by the Dutch and the Spanish prior to the English discovering the East Coast.
But it
was mapped as well. Now, this act was set up, I think, in 1949, Australia Day.
It was when everybody became an Australian.
Yeah, and so we had it, and I'm not going to go...
When we lost the English, we no longer had English passports and whatnot.
We got an Australian... done, Rod. We got an Australian passport, and there was a few other things as to whether we decide to go to war or not go to war. And I think there was voting rights for...
Yeah, but again, they still picked that day,
so
though.
When did the public...
But it's got nothing to do with when Australia was discovered.
When did the public holiday come into it?
What do you mean has?
It's when Governor Phillip...
Hang on, we're all talking over one another.
I'm sorry, Don.
When Governor Phillip sailed into Botany Bay a week after or before Captain Cook did, that was when it was called Foundation Day. That is when Australia was discovered by Governor Phillip.
But wasn't
he
one
landed,
in April and one
you're
in
You're talking
July?
Over each other, Don, you idiot.
So Don...
Don't get angry.
So whatever day we commemorate this country being landed on by Governor Phillip or Captain Cook, if we change the day, would the angst dissipate amongst those people who protest
of
about it?
Of course not.
Of course it won't. So what is the point? As these Aboriginal elders have said, it was a significant day. Let's try and embrace it as Australians, one and all.
Changed the words to the national anthem, and I believe there is something for consideration. And this can be productivity within Australia. Cancel the long weekend on Australia Day, the third weekend in January. Make New Year's Day a brand new start, a brand new year. Celebrate Australia for what it is, young and free and old and all of the stuff that sort of thing. And then away you go. And then someone will find out that on January the 1st, that a descendant from Jizz Hornblower was offended because someone called him a wanker.
Just hang on, you two idiots. I've just brought something up here.
He's calling us idiots, Sam.
Unfortunately, and it just goes on to say on January 20th, I'm only reading part of this thing that I've Googled and trying to read it on my phone. January 20th was chosen as Australia Day because it was for the first time when all Australians were considered equal. It was on January the 26th, 1949, when the Nationality and Citizenship Act of 1946 was enacted.
Yeah, right. But they still chose that date, though, Don.
Because that's
originally.
When he landed.
Because that's
when Governor Phillip landed.
So it's still got the same effect.
So, Don, it's fantastic if all Australians could...
Was it what the 26th or the 20th that he landed?
26th, Don.
Just change it. We don't give a rat's.
But if changing it would stop the angst every year, fantastic.
But it won't.
You know what day we should have? Whatever date Cathy Freeman won her gold medal. No.
All right.
That's jingoistic.
Yeah, because then people like Hornblower would get upset.
Why do we need an Australian day? I grew up in...
Because we don't want to lose a public holiday.
Well, what about grand final day too, on the Friday? Do you want to lose that one before
that's
a grand
ridiculous.
Final? We've got too many bloody public holidays in Australia.
Just before you throw it all out with the bathwater, Don, it's not a bad idea that we could celebrate us.
What do you do to celebrate Australia Day?
Just a minute. Celebrate in inverted commas us all of us being Australians. That is, people who've come from overseas, who've
Can't
been naturalised.
Can't we do it 365 days of the year?
The thing about it is...
Yeah, but you get it, mate. It's a good time to, you know...
It's a good time to try and unite instead of dividing people. This is the whole point. It's a divisive thing. And if you just take notice of people who are in the Aboriginal community, like Sissy King and Jacinta Price, who say, come on, could we all get on? And this stuff that's happening at Collingwood. If we could eradicate... the racist part of that, then that's the whole country is divided. It is such an explosive topic. If we could just diffuse it, but no changing the day, I've got a feeling, will diffuse anything. So why change it?
Does it all heal with time? Do generations pass on?
It's getting worse.
My old man... When television came to Australia in 1956, the year of the Olympics in Melbourne, he wouldn't buy a pie black and white television that you had to get up and change the channels. You know why? Because it was made in Japan. Yeah, because my old man was at Bougainville during World War II. And I tell you what, he was so... Jack Dyer used to joke on the Sunday show, World of Sport, that Jack Dyer had to wait for coloured tank... What was the first coloured television? Rank Arena, not the blow, the horn blower or Jizz Blow Pond.
Plowpunk.
And the thing about it is, he had to wait for coloured television because Jack hated Collingwood that much that he wouldn't watch black and white television.
You idiot!
No, but I'm just saying. The Japanese now one of our great allies. They are, we love their culture. We love them being this country. We're welcomed over there. But it eventually, because people let it go, The things that happened in World War II are disgraceful.
They are, Rex, but the thing about Australia Day, it's just manifesting itself more and more every year. And as I say, if we try and... Don says, cancel Australia Day. Why should we cancel Australia Day? If we can find a happy medium from the day, and if they people who protest and want to complain about it say, well, if you move it to this day, we won't complain, fine, give it a shot. But you know as well as I do, it won't happen, and those two Aboriginal elders say it won't happen, and they would know more than we would. Now, sport, Donald.
Well, I was going to... Just before we're talking general, I'd just like to bring to your
attention... You're moving your lips from the mic.
I would like to bring your attention. There's a real contrast, and this is what I was trying to say as I was driving up here today.
Well, you'd researched it for 2 days. I'm sorry to be talking about interrupting.
Tom Moore is...
He's the veteran who went into hospital with COVID last week. How is he?
And he passed away.
Oh.
Now, isn't there... Now, there's an Englishman...
That is sad.
Well, there's two parts to this man. Tom Moore, let me... John, if I could get a word in,
That's
I would.
Right. We'll go
Thank
ahead.
You very much. Now, it's interesting life that he had, that he was a captain in the British Army.
Yes.
And
get your lips around the mic.
That's a good, fair comment. No, fair, Rick, Don.
Just take it. John just Kennedy said to that, you'd accept it.
Go ahead.
Do Don. Something, Don.
Don.
And
Tom Moore, go. Go ahead, Don. John Dillon. Punch someone. Come over I'd and punch me to, now. Yeah. Come on. Tom Moore,
Tom
with
Moore
you.
Was shut up, Captain. Rex. Hey, will you shut up, Rodney? You're just as bad. You're all idiots.
Go on.
I'm going.
No, you're not. Go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, I am. Where's my bat?
Go ahead. Don't throw the toys out of the cot just yet, Don. Go ahead. I'm with you. Tom Moore. Go on.
Well, Tom Moore
Who?
Passed
shut
away.
Shut the fuck up, you two.
Go ahead,
passed
Don.
Away.
He's dead.
He passed away. Of course, yes. He's dead when you pass away. But he raised, I think, $95 million. He was on his frame. Now, he started his life in the army. He rose to captain. He retired. And through COVID last year, got on that walking frame and walked miles and raised, I'm just trying to find exactly how I thought it was 95. It might have been $55 million.
So you're not sure what you're talking about.
Oh, I am, Justin. I thought the contrast of what a life. And then I go to school. My grandson went to school the other day. And I just sat back and watched the innocence of these people and just how life is going to pan out for them and what they're going to experience. You know, from innocence to this fellow Tom Moore, who's experienced a hell of a lot by going to war, yet he still had the goodness and he thought of others at the end. And... I just thought, what a great life this
very
man
good.
Had.
It's a very. I'm glad you brought up Tom Moore. That's interesting, Don. That is very interesting. And there's another girl. There's a girl. I'm just trying to find this while you speak, because that was interesting about Tom Moore. Good on him. What did he... He raised how many million dollars?
95 million, Don said.
Don
well,
wasn't
I
sure.
didn't know. 95 or
well,
55.
Well, what was it, Don? Please?
Just let me... How can I work this?
Cheers, time? Hornblower's fiancée, Gillian Hornblower. She rose to 100 million
57
euro.
57 million.
All right, well, you're so 40 out, 40 mil out. Well, what's that matter? So there's a woman here, there's a girl, I can't find it. She's collected pebbles in name of pebbles.
Wasn't that the offspring of Fred Flintstone and Wilma?
Who?
Yeah.
Pebbles.
Yeah.
Oh, that was their kid.
And Bam Bam.
And Bam Bam. So,
this is
I'll tell you what, at least twice in that, was that an articulated, what would you call a car? It was just a cart, wasn't it? Was that a result of going to the drive-in and a bit of a jizz horn blower, the two kids, or was it were they conceived back in the Stone Age tent?
Fred, yeah. Wilma!
And what was his mate's name?
Barney Rubble.
And what was his name?
Barney and Betty Rubble.
Betty Rubble.
Hey, Fred.
Yeah.
Hey, Fred.
Oh,
geez. So, Don, so you've researched this. Don.
This is shit.
Tom Moore was interesting. Have you got any more interesting stuff?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm going. I'm doing a Mike Sheehan.
Well, so
the last time he came on, Sheehan packed up, he was off.
You nearly went then too, Don.
I know. I was doing a Mike Sheehan.
Weak as
precious.
So
hey, listen. They had the big dinner. The
Rodney, did you get a late invite?
No.
Monday, last Monday was the big dinner for Fox.
Right.
Reunion, you know, for Bill Cannon and Mike Sheehan leaving. They were allowed to select the guests, certain number of guests. Gary Fenton flew all the way down from Sydney. He was head of Channel 7 Sport. Did you get your invite late? Did it come late?
I haven't heard from Mike since you guys bagged him.
We didn't what? Bag
He hasn't returned my call.
Sort of hang did. On, whoa.
He hasn't whoa, returned Johnny. My call since but you guys on. Cooked him.
Hang on, but you used to go to lunch and coffee and you were Buddha buddies.
Yeah, and you guys...
Okay, shut up.
You Buddha buzzies. You were Buddha buzzies.
Shut up.
You guys ruined it.
Who ruined it?
You two.
Is Michael talking to you, Johnny?
Oh, you always talk. Well, always returns Johnny Newman's calls, he said.
I'm a Buddha buddy.
He hasn't returned mine. He hasn't returned mine.
So you're a nothing.
I haven't spoken to him this year.
Rex.
So you're a nothing. Hang on, woo. John.
I'm a
So you're a nothing... And that's why you don't receive calls. And he's a something, so he
I'm
receives
a
calls.
Buddham buzzy of his.
Ah.
A Buddham buzzy. He's a Buddham buzzy.
Have you heard from him, Rex?
No, I haven't. I wish he would ring me because I know that he wouldn't pick up because I don't have an unlisted number. But I really... one thing that I found
You've
out...
You've got a listed number.
Well, anyone can get my number, the same as John's.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you've changed.
Give it out, Rex.
No, I haven't.
You've changed your green on your phone too. 041
Naughty. But with Mike, one thing that I have to put on the record straight, and look, I Mike and I don't get on, and that's okay.
Why don't you get on?
I don't know. But some people you just sure don't. If I saw Mike Sheehan coming towards me. On the same footpath, would I cross the road so I didn't have to say to him? My bloody oath I would. But
no,
that's just
wouldn't.
Because
no,
I would avoid
competition.
But I tell you what, it'd be like Baden-Powell forgiving Ivan Milat. But the thing about
Ivan Baden-Powell was this
scout movement with the backpackers and the tents.
So what's Ivan Milat got to do
he
with
took
He's not doing a lot at the
he
moment.
He took out
he's,
a few of his members.
He's been at the Tobin Brothers. He actually got badly burned a couple of years ago. So Mike Sheehan said publicly on this program that he was responsible or he believes that without his endorsement, I would not be a life member of the AFL. And I want to thank publicly now Mike Sheehan because I think after 53 years on and off the field that I had no right to actually be inducted into the AFL Life membership.
Without,
I'd like to publicly thank
so.
Mike Sheehan's endorsement. And Michael, I thank you.
Don?
I look at the certificate each day and I think of you, Mike.
Don.
And I really appreciate it.
Fee.
And thank you very much.
Fiona.
Fiona Byrne?
Yeah, she might pen another column saying that they've finally made up.
But that's not true.
She wrote a story about Chautauqua on the weekend. You remember Chautauqua? Rex, you follow the races, don't you?
The grey racehorse who was just not capable of leaving the gates, who was the fastest thing on four legs that I've ever seen.
Well, he's now making a show career and Fiona went out and covered his first event at Werribee Park last week. So
Fiona did. Is she a horsewoman?
Yes. She grew up, her mother was a horse rider and Fiona competed and rode as well. So
I just wanted to clear up one thing about Tom, who left us just... Tom Moore. Is that it Tom. Wasn't unexpected that Tom, as a frail, elderly man in his 90s, would if he contracted COVID...
No,
that
he's pneumonia, he got pneumonia.
That is a legacy of COVID. It attacks the lungs. Is that why kids, I think about under 12, aren't required to wear face masks?
How did we get onto this?
Because Tom died of COVID.
No, Fiona
we were talking about... Fiona Byrne.
Riding
Chautauqua,
a horse. I'd like to
horses,
see Fiona ride a horse.
And now we're talking about kids with masks on.
I'm sorry, it's past
well,
that running
you just
sheet.
Stick to what we're
Hang on,
trying
on,
to
it's
do.
Got here. Oh, you're listening to Smart Ass Sam with Sam, Don and me. I used to be Rex Hunt. And this is station identification here in downtown Port Melbourne, brought to you with the kindest regards of Jockey Y-Fronts and their new release, the Don Scott range, called the MSAC.
Don, why don't... seriously, I'm fucking going mad. Don.
Oh, jeez, I've done two works of preparation
Don.
For this,
why don't,
this bloody podcast. I cut stuff out. I got about... the V-line bloody thing from Warrnambool to Mount Gambier. Yeah, you know what happened there?
What?
It's back.
Pete, do you want me to read the letter out?
Yes.
About the,
is this
you,
from...
You're very good at setting the scene. You tell everybody about it before I
hang
get
on,
into...
can we finish Chautauqua? Is that done?
Yeah, could I...
Oh,
can
we
get
back to
done.
The kids wearing masks?
Why don't you...
Don, all right, well, hang on, wait,
here's
mate,
a suggestion. Could I have a... Why don't you and Fiona Byrne, because you're both horse people, why don't you go on a tandem tour around the equestrian events, show jumping and working together? You could have, you could ride,
hey,
you
what
could
about
ride side, she sure, could get sure. on the back of your horse and you could jump hurdles and you could do lots of things.
What about you two coming when I go to Queensland this year? We could pack this gear up,
Don,
and we could do the
shows. We were all
shows.
Packed up ready to come and your truck wouldn't work.
Okay, it's going to work when I go to Queensland because I'm off to Queensland this year. We can bring this, you can come out and enjoy outback Queensland.
Now, are you in, Rex?
Oh, shit, no. Please. No. Well, I can take three of you. I couldn't take the fourth.
No. Look, it's a very, very nice offer. What time of the year is it?
In a couple of months.
So you're talking April, May?
No.
On the end of the equinox, at the first part of the year, in 16 to 18 metres of water, off the Hovel Pile... just near the Mud Island drop-off, the old Chinese fish, the Whiting, go absolute ape droppings because they mate. They come in there and there's a bit of office hanky-panky. And while they've got their mind on other business, if you put a fresh mussel, which is grown in the Port Arlington area, and a mussel, of course, you would know, is a filter feeder, it is a bivalve mollusk. It originated from the Cochrane catchment area, and I would not give away that month's fishing on the equinox, particularly leading up to the full moon, for any road trip, even if a jizz hornblower was in my room.
Now it is...
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.